Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Food Friday, July 12th. I'm Ray Graff. Well, it's that time of year. Good things are coming up from the ground. Farmers markets abound. Today, we'll talk to the folks from the Copaic Hillsdale Farmers Market, now in its 19th season. It's open every Saturday from Memorial Weekend to Thanksgiving. We'll be joined today by Jack Peel, owner of Jacuterie, which offers handcrafted charcuterie made in USDA-inspected facility in Ancrumdale, New York. Also with us is Laura Griffin, who is on the board of directors for the Farmers Market, managing their marketing and social media. Number here is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also email voxpop@wamc.org. Jack and Laura, not Luke and Laura, Jack and Laura coming up. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. The Copaic Hillsdale Farmers Market is open every Saturday from Memorial Weekend to Thanksgiving at Rojan Park in Hillsdale, New York. And we'll talk about it today with Laura Griffin, who is on the board of the Farmers Market, managing their marketing and social media. She was a vendor there for several years when she owned a spice company, and she did videos, and I saw one. Also with us is Jack Peel, the owner and creative force behind Jacuterie in Ancrumdale. He's traveled and trained widely, brings a unique, sophisticated touch to the flavors he brings to his sausages, dry-cured salamis, bacon, and even two spreadable salamis, which I gotta say, I'm mystified about. We'll find out about that. We'll take your calls today, too. 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email the program at voxpop@wamc.org. Jack and Laura, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hey, Ray.
Great to have you here. Come a little closer to the microphone, Laura. And we'll start with you. Talk to me about, this is the 19th year for the Farmers Market,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
And it's, did I say the name of the park correctly?
You did, the Roelof Jansen Park. It's a state park in Hillsdale.
And so you've been there the whole time, or have you moved around?
No, we actually started in the baseball field in Hillsdale in like 2005.
Yeah.
And then it grew and grew until we finally moved where we are now in 2014.
Well, you know, Farmers Markets, it's almost like the microbrewery revolution of the 90s. They just exponentially expand. There's so many of them now. Have you seen, since 2005, and you've been with the Farmers Market for some time, yeah?
Yes.
I mean, have you seen a big explosion of people who are interested in that sort of thing?
Definitely, across so many factors. You know, people are becoming more aware of their food and the nature of their food. They're getting more interested in cooking, thanks to all the famous chefs and cooking shows that are out there now.
Yeah.
People are just getting closer to their communities. And then obviously during that thing that happened in 2020, everybody fled up here to Columbia County.
Yeah.
So we certainly saw an influx of people who wanted, you know, good food, healthy food. And that's kind of where it went.
How many vendors are there now?
Oh, my gosh. Not every single one is there every week.
Right.
But the grand total is around 60.
Wow. That's quite a lot. Jack, you've been on this program before.
Yep.
Tell us about Jacuterie in Ancrumdale.
So we started in 2012 is when I think the germ of the idea came in. And we began making everything late that year and started selling in 2013. We are located at my dad's farm, which is Herondale Farm. That's in Ancrumdale. And he raises almost all the animals that we use. So we do, we purchase the whole pigs. We break them down. We make everything possible, like nose to tail.
Yeah.
Fresh, cured, some semi-cured, everything possible that we can make. And then we sell at the markets and we sell it around in stores and restaurants and just everywhere we can. But a limited quantity, obviously, because it's all small scale.
Well, we will talk much more about that. You brought some chorizo and you brought some salami. And inside baseball here, I brought the salami into the newsroom. And Samantha Simmons, our reporter, just about ate the whole pack of salami. It was very impressive. So that's a high sodium intake if you eat the whole thing. And I looked at the back of the label, and it mentioned fermentation.
That's right.
Is all salami fermented?
All salami is fermented traditionally. I think some modern salamis are not fermented anymore. They'll just put a direct acidification agent into it to bypass that step. But we don't like that. We like the slow fermentation, like making, you know, sourdough bread or anything like that. And so the salami is fermented for 48 hours. And we introduce a variety of different cultures into it when we're mixing the meat that all do different things during the fermentation. So some of them are acidifying. Some of them are breaking the fat structures down. Some of them are breaking the protein structures down. And then some cultures actually then eat the lactic acid to raise the pH back up so that it's not super vinegary or acidic in the final product.
How'd you learn how to do this? It sounds very complicated and scientific.
I originally studied pastry, and so I had a background
in
food science, I guess the technical aspect of it. And somewhere along the way, I just got interested in salami, how to make it. I didn't know it was fermented when I first wanted to know about it. And so I was just playing, experimenting. I had a little mini fridge, which I converted into a curing chamber, made some salami. And then I went back to what was the French Culinary Institute, and now I think it's the International Culinary Center. Did like a week-long crash course in charcuterie. And I was like, oh, wow, I learned all this stuff by myself already, just reading books and experimenting. So that was great. Did some more studying and just learned as I went, basically.
What happens if you go longer than 48 hours in the fermentation process?
I think basically you want to get it out of that hot zones because it's warm. You know, you're holding the meat at a temperature which is in the high 60s, low 70s. You can even go, some people will do it in the 80s or 90s. And after a while, you just don't want your meat in that environment anymore. So you want it to do the fermentation. And the reason is a food safety. So by lowering the pH of the salami and introducing lactic acid, that lactic acid will protect and prevent the bad bacterias and foodborne illnesses that you don't want in the food.
Well, the salami is amazing. And I asked Sam Simmons in the newsroom, I said, give me your one word description of this so I can talk about it on the air. And between bites, she said, very good. So I think that's pretty high praise indeed. 800-348-2551. We talk about the Copaic Hillsdale Farmers Market today with Laura Griffin, who is the marketing and social media person for that, and also Jack Peel from Jack Utery in Ankrumdale, New York. Number here is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Laura, you owned a spice company way back when, yeah?
I did, yeah. It was called Your Spice of Life, and it had a good run. It was about 7 years, and I was a vendor with that at this market. That's how I learned about it.
And but why'd you stop doing it? Just not profitable? Or?
It's hard. Jack can attest to the fact it's tough. It's a tough business, and it grew too fast, and it was just me.
Yeah.
So I'd be doing, you know, my accounting at night and my production during the day and designing my labels in between. It was crazy.
It's a familiar refrain for people who do their own business.
Totally. Yeah. But I loved every second of it. And there's actually a connection with Jack because it was my own company. I was able to come up with new recipes just on a whim. Like you'd be lying there in bed at night and go, oh, I should make something with, you know, lemongrass in it. And then the next morning, go down to the experimental kitchen, right? And then boom, now you have a new product. So Jack does that too with his sausage flavors. He has the most insanely creative sausage flavors that you've ever seen.
Well, we're going to have to hear about
these. Tell him about the cheeseburger.
We do. So we have all of our regular stuff. We have, you know, all the standard flavors of sausage and salami that we do. But through the farmer's market season specifically, every week we have one or two specials, and we'll make, I don't know, between 20 to 40 pounds. And we only have this at the farmer's markets for that 1 week or until we sell out of it.
Yeah.
And that started to get on a rotating basis. So we have a lot of them which are popular. People want us to do. So we have some like Indian-inspired stuff. We do like a tikka masala sausage.
Oh, nice.
And things like that. And then last, we just got the ability from the USDA to make beef and lamb sausages. And so in my mind, I was always like, I really want to do a cheeseburger sausage, you know? And so that was our first beef sausage, good, which we did a couple weeks ago. Grass-fed beef from Herondale Farm. And then we had pickles in it and cubes of American cheese and caramelized onion.
Yeah.
And some of our own bacon also. So we, you know, mixed it all up. We had it in there. And part of the idea was, like, I want to have this flavor, this odor, this scent. So when you open the pack straight away, even uncooked, you open it and you're like, that's a cheeseburger.
Okay. So, I mean, I would take it to the next logical step and slice it into thin medallions and put it on pizza. Then you have a cheeseburger you sausage could, yeah. pizza.
And this is a fresh sausage. So this was primarily made for the grill.
Uh-huh.
And,
so you have to cook it and then slice it.
You've got to cook it and then slice it. And the interesting thing with that was, I was like, well, this is a burger. You don't want to cook this like a sausage where you want to cook it all the way. I was like, if you want this medium rare, cook it medium rare, you know?
Genius.
So everybody who's coming, I was like, don't overcook it because you don't want to overcook burger. Cook it how you want your burger. You
and if you don't tell somebody what it is, you say, hey, you want a half-done sausage and see what they say.
That's right.
You want a medium rare sausage?
That's perfect. And that's why the benefit of being at the farmer's market, so you can communicate directly with your customers and tell them that, you know?
Well, let's talk more about that. We'll take a quick break. It's the Copaic Hillsdale Farmers Market Saturdays at Rojan Park in Hillsdale, New York. Laura Griffin is here, Jack Peel as well. And your calls, 800-348-2551. A little Count Basie in the orchestra. Hit it, fellas. Right on, right on. The Count Basie Orchestra here on Vox Pop. It's Food Friday. We're talking about the Copaic Hillsdale Farmers Market with Jack Peel and Laura Griffin. The number is 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Right before we went to the break, Jack made a point about one of the beauties of farmers markets in that you have I'm sure, Jack, and we'll talk about this later, you ship some of your things to some various stores,
yes,
some of your products.
Yeah. Yep.
Yes. But when you're at a farmer's market, you are getting that direct feedback. And I know, Laura, you wanted to talk a little more about that.
Yeah, it was something that occurred to me after Jack said what he did. You know, in a traditional shopping environment, a supermarket, you can't go up and ask anybody, hey, how did you make this, right? You can't say, I have a deadly allergy to XYZ. Can you guarantee me that there's none of that in your product, right? But in a farmer's market, at least in ours, most of the booths are staffed by the person who made it.
Yeah.
Not every single one, but like Jack says, Jack staffs his own booth. So I can walk up to him and say, like, some people are allergic to nutmeg, for example. I learned that in my
really?
Spice company. Yeah.
I know that.
So I can say, Jack, you have this, you know, Indian banger. Is there nutmeg in it? Right? And he can say, I swear to God, I made it myself 2 weeks ago. I, you know, swear on my life there's no nutmeg. Do you know what I mean? And think of that across the board with all of the foods, right?
Yeah.
Is that bread really gluten-free? Because, you know, I'll fall on the floor if it's not, right?
Yeah.
So the trust factor is immense. So what happens then is the customers build this very kind of intimate relationship with the vendors because they are trusting them to give them healthy, safe food.
Great point. Jack, does Laura often make you swear on your life about ingredients?
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
Yes, of course.
All right. Well,
Laura walks around the market and makes sure that everybody does exactly
what swear on doing. Your life, Peel. Yeah. Would you tell us about some of the other vendors at this farmer's market?
Oh, my goodness. Do we have 9 hours? No, they're amazing.
Yeah.
So I just mentioned that the market was about 19 years old.
Yep.
And we actually have vendors today still that have been there since day one, which is astonishing, right? And then we have people like Jack who've been there 10, 11, 12 years.
Yeah.
So right there, that tells you something. But we have so many vendors, and each one deserves a story. So all I can say is we represent everything you need on your shopping list, and it's literally, you know, the obvious meat, produce, bread, but it goes into dog treats
really?
And spiced pumpkin seeds and, you know, honey, maple syrup, the crazy jams that this lady Lynette makes.
Oh, like, yeah?
Yeah. She actually has a little, I can't say it on the air, but she has really funny, racy names for the jams.
Oh, really?
I will not say it, but.
Do they taste racy?
They taste amazing.
Okay, that's good. That's the main thing.
So really, every single vendor there, you know, is extraordinary in their own way. And I'll also add that our market is a little bit of an incubator in that some people decide to start a food business and they come to us to vend the first time. And they either learn that they're not ready, their product's not there, and that actually has happened with a few vendors, or they learn tricks, you know, from doing the vending. They improve their packaging, they fix their prices, they change the ingredients, and they go on to be huge successes. Some of them actually left us after becoming
huge. Oh, too big for their britches.
Which is a little bit, you know.
Yeah, that's a shame.
But we're very happy to have that role of being an incubator and also supporting them. We often give them advice like, hey, your signage could use a little something, or, you know, your prices are a little not visible to the customer when they walk up, et cetera. So we really support them. We're not just a host.
Okay, so Laura, Jack, does she walk around bossing people around like that? Does she tell you, hey, listen, Peel, I want that sign bigger now?
In the most friendly and supportive way possible.
Okay, fair enough.
Laura and everybody else at the market, Heidi and Nicole, are there really helping everybody.
And what are the hours for this, by the way? I know it's Saturdays, but what time does it happen?
It's 9 to 1.
9 to 1.
Which is a nice, rain generous or shine? Amount. Absolutely, rain or shine. I cannot think of a time that we ever canceled the market. We may possibly have closed early once in the 19 years, but we are rain or shine. And actually, the reason why is most of the market is under a covered barn. It's a, you know, a pole barn.
Yeah.
It's closed on three sides.
Well, that's right. I saw pictures of that on the website.
So that allows us really even more so to be rain or shine. We did spill out now into the concrete area, but absolutely rain or shine. Or in this case, inferno or shine.
Oh, yeah, I hear that. Number here is 800-348-2551. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. Laura Griffin is on the board of the Copaic Hillsdale Farmers Market and manages marketing and social media. Jack Peel is the owner and creative force behind Jacuterie in Ancrumdale, New York, and the salami we talked about. What's a spreadable salami, man?
So the spreadable salami, we make two different flavors right now. One is called Nduja, and the other is Ciauscolo, and both are traditional Italian styles. We did not invent this.
No, I've never heard of spreadable salami.
So the process is very similar to what we do with a regular salami. It's all pork, and it's seasoned, and it's fermented, and it's aged. We actually age it longer than our regular salami because we make really big ones. So these are about 2.5-3 pounds each. And so they take about 60 days to age. And what makes them spreadable is that it's just the difference in the mixture of the meat, where a regular salami has a certain ratio of lean meat and back fat. The spreadable salami, we mix some belly in there. It has a little bit more fat. And then we grind it three times. With our very cool sausage grinders, we can actually do that in one pass because it has several blades. So it gets progressively smaller and smaller as it goes through. And then we mix it. And what ends up happening is that the lean and the fat of the meat mix together to a certain degree so that it doesn't go hard like normal salami does while it ages. And so it stays soft. So you get the flavor of salami, but with the texture and consistency of pate or a rillette.
That sounds really, really good. Have you tried that, Laura?
No, I do not know how I've missed that. All right. But I will know after that description.
It's very delicious. And the Nduja is so popular right now. We just cannot make enough of it. We sell it to restaurants and stores. It's huge in restaurants for charcuterie boards. People put it on pizza. You can cook with it, so you can put it in the base of soups and stews. And then Ciauscolo is really lovely. It's a really light, delicate. It's got a little juniper, garlic, rosemary. Mm-hmm. And that's just perfect on a cracker with like a cornichon, some cheese, some wine.
You know,
ooh, la la.
Yeah, very nice. Uh-huh. You know, you have a passion for this, Jack. And I just wonder how you made the jump from baking to suddenly being gung-ho about this. And your work is fantastic.
It's a good question. I don't know. I My mom always says I wanted to be a baker since I was a little kid. So I'd always, when I was like five, I'd say I was going to be a baker when I grew up.
Yeah.
And I went to pastry school and I studied that and I worked in a restaurant and I did some stuff on the side. And it was one of those things where I doing it as a profession made me like it less. And I was like, but this is something that I love to do. I don't want to ruin that love. I'd always loved sausages my whole life. And we had the farm. My dad is English. I was born in England. We moved to New York in the late 90s. And when he started the farm, we wanted to have all these traditional English style sausages, which we could not get. And we couldn't, no one could make them. And so that was really the beginning. I was like, well, I want to know how to make that. So
you don't do haggis though, right?
No.
Okay.
I do not do that.
All right, good.
I don't know if I even knew if I could, but we just wanted bangers, English bangers.
Yeah.
And chipolatas, you know, which you could get like in New York
City.
What's
that? I don't know what that is.
A chipolata is like a little sort of like a cocktail sausage. It's thin. It's very simple. It doesn't have a lot in it. But that was the genesis. It was like, I want to know how to make that. So I remember one Christmas, my dad and I were in the kitchen trying to make sausage, and it was a disaster. You know, we had it in the food processor, and we didn't have a sausage stuffer, so we'd taken like a 2-liter bottle, and we were trying to like push the meat through the funnel of the bottle.
To be clear, you don't do this now.
No, no.
At your establishment.
And it was an absolute failure, but it was that moment I was like, I'm going to learn how to do that, and I'm going to learn how to do it correctly, and I'm gonna do it. And so it was that moment. And the British bangers is our most popular sausage that we sell. We make hundreds and hundreds of pounds of that sausage.
Really?
That was the first one that made me want to make sausages. So,
well, we are joined by Jack Peel from Jacquerie and Laura Griffin from the Copaic Hillsdale Farmers Market. Jack, you'll be there this weekend too?
Yes, I will be there tomorrow.
Here's an email we got from Gene at voxpop@wamc.org. And that number, if you want to call, is 800-348-2551. Gene wants to know about the Herondale cattle. Gene writes, I drive by the farm occasionally and have noticed your herd of white cattle, your dad's herd. What type are they and why did he raise those?
So those are British White cattle is the name of the breed, and it is a heritage breed. It goes back thousands of years. I think the Romans had those cows. One of the reasons that he raises those is because they are a heritage breed that go back thousands of years. They eat grass, and they are a grass-fed breed that has only ever eaten grass. And so when grass-fed beef started becoming a thing, say 20 years ago when we first started doing the farm, a lot of people would complain and say, oh, grass-fed isn't as good. It doesn't have the right fat. It doesn't have the right marbling.
It's leaner, right?
It's leaner. Yeah. And one of the reasons is they're taking cows which had been bred to eat corn and putting them back on grass, and so they weren't getting the nutrition that they needed. But when you look at the heritage breeds, all they have ever done historically is eaten grass. So their digestive system and everything about them is made to eat grass and process that correctly.
So they have the right amount of fat.
Exactly. So we have these beautiful, if you see our steaks, these beautiful marbled rib steaks, and they make my mouth water every time I see them. And they're 100% grass-fed. They've never eaten anything else.
Does he give you a deal on them?
I do, yeah. We have a deal back and forth with sausage.
You know, Ray, when you were asking before about what the impetus was for the growth of the farmer's market, he's making me remember something, too, that people are simply more informed about their food and more interested. When I was growing up, I had no idea there was more than one kind of cow. I really didn't.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure I knew that hamburger came from cows, to be honest. You know, as a kid.
Right. Eventually, you knew.
Eventually, you know, yesterday. But I didn't know.
Who broke the news to you?
Oh, that's a whole different story. Yeah. But you know what I mean? I didn't know there was different cows. I didn't know there was such a thing as grass-fed or anything like that. And nowadays, people are really interested in this.
Yeah.
You know, we have a beef vendor at the market, Pym Farm, and they raise also British cows. They have red Devon cows, I guess from Devonshire. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they have photos of the cows right at the booth, which initially I thought, oh, nobody wants to see a picture of the cow, right?
Yeah.
But people are fascinated and they want to know all about it.
Huh. So it's an educational experience for those who come.
Yeah.
And this email from, and I hope I say it right, I know you said it, Nduja, is that how you say it?
Nduja. Sort of,
Nduja.
Yeah.
Clara in Beacon says, I use Nduja regularly in my spaghetti sauce.
That's right.
It elevates the sauce in a unique way, and everyone loves it.
Yeah, it's a great way to use it.
And, Lucy writes in, is the sausage available in the Pioneer Valley? We might as well have this conversation. Where are some of these places beside the Copaic Hillsdale Farmers Market where you can find charcuterie stuff?
We do distribute. We have several great local small distributors that distribute through the Hudson Valley and the Capital Region here in New York, and then also in the Berkshires and the Pioneer Valley in Massachusetts.
Okay.
And I do not have specific stores to point you towards in the Pioneer Valley, but we definitely have product available.
Is it on your website?
It is on our website. You can go to charcuterie.com.
You better spell that for everybody.
That's JACUTERIE.com.
Do I have to put the umlaut in on the U to?
No, you don't. I don't think the web browser will accept
that. Okay, fair enough.
You can go there, and we also ship, so you can buy directly from our website. Also, we have information for our distribution on there also.
Go ahead, Laura.
No, I was just going to say, you know, Jack, we're going to have to call you charcuterie from now on because of Ray, right?
Yes, I know.
Yeah, some people, they do put a French accent.
I'm a kidder, and I apologize to everyone in the world who's listened to this show for all these years. Let's take a break now, Zach. I want to talk to Laura a little bit about how SNAP benefits play into this and, you know, making nutrition available to those who may not have the cash to make it happen. 800-348-2551. We'll be back. Blues Note, that's Sonny Rollins. Great stuff here. If you're listening, Sonny, come on my program. We'll spin a couple of records. We'll chat a bit. Number here is 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. The Copaic Hillsdale Farmers Market is open every Saturday, 9 to 1 at Rojan Park. 9 to 1, right?
Yeah.
At Rojan Park in Hillsdale, New York. We're joined by Jack Peel from, how would you say it?
I just say charcuterie.
Charcuterie.
It's a play, you know, my name is Jack.
Right.
And charcuterie.
You don't say charcuterie.
I don't say charcuterie. Some people do, but it's charcuterie to me.
Be that way. Hey, Laura Griffin is also here from the farmers market. And right before the break, we mentioned that your farmers market takes SNAP benefits, and that's an important thing, right?
Absolutely. It's vital. I'll tell you a little bit about it. So first of all, for people who don't know, SNAP stands for Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. The colloquial is food stamps.
Yeah.
So it's a government program people get. So all of the vendors who sell eligible food accept SNAP. Eligible food, by the way, just means they can buy almost anything except alcohol and a couple other things like that.
Right.
You know, prepared food to go, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, all the vendors who can accept SNAP. But even with people, with low-income people getting this benefit from the government, it's still pricey for them because, you know, food's expensive, right?
Yeah.
So in New York State, the governor created a program called Fresh to You. And what it entails is they give SNAP users checks called Fresh Connect checks. So at our market, like let's say you came to me and you said, I want to spend $100 of my SNAP today. We would give you these little wooden tokens that you would use as money at the booths.
Right.
But then in addition to that 100 in tokens, we give you another $100 in those Fresh to You checks.
Okay, so how does the system work? How is that economically viable for those on your side of the counter?
Well, we reimburse the vendors who accept those payments, and the government reimburses us.
Hmm. That's amazing. And so are you seeing a lot of people using those?
No. So that's the other kind of uphill challenge, Ray, is that you wouldn't be surprised to hear that there's a little bit of a stigma associated with getting assistance of any kind,
yeah.
Right? So these folks on the food stamps on SNAP, you know, are simply leery to come to the market and to be seen using those tokens. we're not a big enough market for people to be able to literally swipe their EBT card at the booth. If that happened, then it would be transparent and more people would do it.
Right.
But that requires a whole complicated thing for each vendor to do. So they probably do it like in New York City, but not here. So there's a huge stigma. So people are simply ashamed and scared to come to the market.
How do you fight it? I mean, how do you, farmer's market,
like
really?
It's literally like education. We've done the most shotgun approach you've ever seen in terms of trying to educate people. We have approached people one-on-one and said, I will take you by the hand and go shopping with you. A ton of, you know, promotion and posters being put up at the food pantry. We go to local food banks and educate them there. We take out ads, you know, like, it's really almost anything that you can think of. We are seeing an increase. The promotion is paid off. But it's slow because, you know, some people just think farmers markets have weird food. And you have to admit, like, as much as I was drooling over the cheeseburger sausage,
that sounds pretty good.
If you kind of look at it from the point of view of someone who eats meat and potatoes, you know, every day and Wonder Bread and corn, some of the stuff that we sell at the market sounds a little weird, right?
Right.
So there's such a challenge on so many levels. So we've been fighting it for years. We're going to keep fighting it for years. But in the end, it personally pains me so much to know that there are people, literally my neighbors, who can't afford the food that I can enjoy every week, you know, even with the discounts that come from the SNAP. It's a very emotional issue. So I think that's what drives us to continue to try to get it out there more.
The number to call here is 800-348-2551. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. We're joined by Laura Griffin, a board member of the Copaic Hillsdale Farmers Market, also in charge of marketing and social media. How much social media do you do?
Oh, my goodness. We're on everything.
Really?
We have a YouTube channel, which you know.
I saw
video
you on that, yeah.
Back in my chef demo days. We have an Instagram. We have Facebook. We have a banging newsletter. And then a website. The obvious name, Copaic Hillsdale Farmers Market. And so we're just hitting it on all channels.
The number, once again, is 800-348-2551. It goes to Thanksgiving. It gets a little chilly by Thanksgiving. How do you do that?
It does. We find that the people hang out less. Do you know what I mean? They kind of do a hit and run. Whereas now in the good weather, Ray, we have live music. We have a guy that blows bubbles, you know, the bubble kits, Asia Luna. You know, we have these umbrella tables. And we, you know, those little red carts that kids can ride around in?
Radio flyers.
Radio flyers.
Sure, I remember.
We've got two or three of those. So basically, now in the good weather, when people come, they're there for like hours.
Oh, that's fun.
They shop, they get the prepared food, they sit at the umbrella, they listen to the music.
And we're located in the beautiful Rojan Park where you can go for walks. You can walk off into the field. So people will come and they'll get snacks. They'll go off for a walk into the hills, to the creek, and then they'll come back, have lunch, do their shopping then. So it's a whole experience.
And you know, it's a really nice side benefit from what Jack is saying is for little kids who are growing up in this environment, this is their normal. To them, this is going grocery shopping.
That's amazing. To grow up that way. We have a farmer's market in my neighborhood. I'll stop in once in a blue moon. I grew up, you know, my mom went to the grocery store and got the Wonder Bread and everything else. Yeah. So to me, it's almost culture shock to go to a farmer's market. But it's great if there are kids who... This is the way.
Like Jean-Luc?
Yeah, my son Jean-Luc is almost 10, has been coming to the market his entire life. He was in a sling, you know, when we first started. And now he helps my dad do the iPad with the cash register. So he's there actively selling. And then he'll run off. He doesn't ever help me in my booth, but he'll help everybody else. He'll go off our great other vendors who sell pickles and lemonade. He'll go and help them squeeze lemons for the lemonade. He'll help people set up. So it's really great. It's his whole life. And I'll ask him, I was like, what do you want to do? Do you want to come to the market today? And he's like, yeah, that's where I'm going.
That's awesome.
So. In 4 years, Jack, he'll be eligible to be one of our interns.
We hope so.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, I mean, are you concerned about running afoul of child labor laws at all?
Nope.
No? Everything's fine?
It's all in the game. There's no, you know, they do it for fun, you know? And even my younger son, who is now almost 2, he's not quite in the game yet, but he knows sausage. He sees the pig on my hat and he says sausage.
Let me see that hat. Joel, hold it up.
So he walks around and says sausage. He sees sausages and he's sausage. So he walks around just constantly, and he knows he puts them in the boxes. Sometimes I got to take him to work, so he'll sit there and he'll just organize, putting salami in boxes, taking them out again, putting them back in. And
well, aside from your 10-year-old and your 2-year-old child, how many people work for you over there?
Currently, I have one full-time employee, actually. His name is Evan, and he is a champ. He runs the show while I run around, you know, driving around, delivering, picking up meat, doing the books, going to the bank, and Evan is there cutting meat, making sausages, and we'll do that together, obviously, of course, too, but just one person right now, so we split the markets.
You crank out quite – I mean, it's a smaller operation, but you crank out a lot of sausage, yeah?
We do. We do – obviously, I think several hundred pounds a week of sausage and salami. And it's, you know, there was points where we had more people, and that has its challenges too. So right now we're just he and I. And not only do we do our own sausage, but we provide the service for other small farms who may only have a few animals. And we'll make sausages for other farms too. So Gray Light Farm, who is at our farmer's market, he makes egg sandwiches. He brings us his pigs, and we make the breakfast sausage for him to make the sandwiches with, and a bunch of other farms. So it's a really well-rounded business that we've got going.
Laura, I don't want to upset you, but we have an email from Tim in Greenwich, New York, and basically trying to steal Jack and Jacquerie away. Tim writes, wondering if Jack does any other farmers markets. Also, would he be open to expanding his reach up to the Saratoga farmers market? We'd love to have him.
We do go to the Great Barrington farmers market also, which is, I would say, only 25 minutes away from Copaic, Hillsdale. And those are, you know, we've been doing these markets for years. The Hillsdale Farmers Market that we do here at Copaic Hillsdale, we have been at now for 10 years, I believe, basically ever since it moved into the new location. And there was a point in time where we did, I think, 10 farmers markets, and it was a lot. It was very intense. It took us probably 2 whole days of the week just to pack and get ready for that. We love the farmers markets, and it's always we're always looking to see whether we can do more if we have the product and staff to do it.
So I guess anybody interested in conversing with you can contact you through the website, right?
That's right. Yep.
Laura, you said there were how many vendors in general?
Total, right? Not every single week, but probably total there are 60 or maybe even more. Because not only do we have food vendors, we have people who do, who are artisans and artists. So I'm counting that in the 60.
The reason I ask, the last time I did a farmer's market show some years ago, you know, the person running it said, it's pretty tough to get a booth or a table at our farmer's market. Are people knocking down the door to get on? Do you ever have to say to someone, sorry, we just don't have room for you right now?
Not so much the room issue, but we are very protective of our vendors in terms of competition. So, like, let's say another pork sausage vendor approached us and said we want to sell at the market. We would surely say no, because we're not big enough yet to support, you know, 2 similar vendors in that way. We have 1 beef vendor, 1 poultry vendor. Obviously, with the produce, we have more than 1 produce farmer because people eat so much of it. But you know what I'm saying? So we are extremely protective about competition. So, yes, we constantly get requests. And as long as it doesn't hurt another vendor, we will gladly make room for you, especially now that we've spilled out from the barn. We do have almost unlimited room.
Yeah.
But if you are going to compete with one of our people, sorry.
Interesting. Who is the ultimate vetter of the vendors? In other words, who says, okay, you're in. Nope, sorry, you're not in.
Yeah, so we do have a market manager that's part of the structure. And so she's the one who receives the initial inquiries. And most of them are very obvious in terms of, you know, no, I'm not going to have another sausage vendor.
Right.
But if it's something that's on the fence, like, oh, maybe we can take them, then she brings it to the board.
Interesting.
Who she's also a member of.
Laura Griffin's here from the Copaic Hillsdale Farmers Market. Jack Peel, who will also be there on Saturday from 9 to 1. How long does it take you? Do you have to go 3-4 hours in advance of the 9 o'clock open to set up?
No, I try to get there at least an hour before.
Yeah.
But I will say that throughout the year and into the colder months, I get a little tardy. And sometimes I get there maybe 20 minutes before. But I've been doing my own farmer's market for 10 years. I did farmer's markets for Herondale since 2003. So I've been setting up a tent and a table for over 20 years. I've become very proficient at that.
But your dad is not at this farmer's market.
He is at this farmer's market now, actually for the first time, selling chicken. So he brings all of his chicken, whole chickens, chicken sausage, cut chicken, like, you know, leg and thighs, wings. I think he brings chicken stock, chicken pot pie.
You sell like Bubba Shrimp. Remember that?
Yeah. What else? Dog treats. He makes dog treats out of, actually, it's not my dad. His girlfriend Sarah, has a side business using also the livers from the cows and the sheep to make dehydrated dog liver treats, called Zebiums. Very delicious. The dogs love them.
Now you say very delicious.
I go by what the dogs react.
But it's that nose to tail thing that he was talking about before, right? Nothing goes to waste.
Nothing goes to waste.
Can I say one word
Absolutely.
About the collaboration?
Yes.
Jack brought up how he will produce the sausage for Greylight using their pigs.
Yep.
That collaboration, that type of work between the vendors, I think is one of the things that's paramount about our market. If you actually go to Greylight's booth, you'll find the sausage that Jack made. You'll find the hot sauce that Common Hands Farm made for him sitting on the table.
Who makes the hot sauce?
Common Hands Farm.
Oh, really? Is it good?
Oh my gosh, it's phenomenal. So that's sitting on the table, right? Yeah. They put their breakfast sandwiches on bread, ciabatta rolls that come from Berkshire Mountain Bakery, who is 12 feet away from him at the market. You know what I mean? And there's probably another collab that I'm forgetting, but that's not uncommon. They all love to work together. This one will use honey for, you know, this. This one will put vegetables from him into their stuff.
So in a way, it's a unique, you go there and you might have some unique tastes that you will not find anywhere else.
100%.
That's really cool. The number here is 800-348-2551. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. Jack, you talked about you have the cheeseburger sausage.
Yes.
And you have kind of a rotating list of specialty things. Doing something like this, a farmer's market, this one or another one, the feedback you get, how do you turn that into actionable things in your kitchen?
We learn not everything is a success. You know, sometimes people will come back and say, I really like the flavor of this sausage, but the texture was a little off, you know, and so we'll take it all in and see how can we improve that, what can we do. And then of course we get people coming and they'll be like, oh, I hate that Morel Marsala sausage that you made, when can we get that again? And I'm like, well, morels are out of season now, so you know, next year we'll have it. We put it on Instagram, and you want it, you got to come that week. You got to get them because then they're gone.
Do you take notes? In other words, do you have a file where you say a lot of people like this? If it was me, I'd forget.
It's all in my mind.
Really?
I don't have a catalog or notes. I know when the best thing is when we sell out, and so if we sell out in 1 week, that's a popular one. Sometimes we'll make it again. Or we will every year. But what I find interesting is that people really like it the 1 week. If you do it again 2 weeks later, they want something new, you know? It's in my mind. And if I look at it and I say, hey, it took us a month to sell that special, coming off. We're not doing that one again, you know? So it's all, you know, it's just learning. And it's because I'm there at the market. So I know how people are reacting to it.
Yeah. You know what people learn too, though, is, for example, with his sausage, it's freezable.
Yep.
So, like, if you fall in love with the Morel, what was it, Morel?
Morel Marsala.
Yeah,
so they made like a Marsala
sauce. Five packages of it, if you know, and then stick it in your freezer, and then you'll be all set. And the same is true as you go down the line of the vendors. A lot of the stuff can be frozen, and especially when it gets to be the end of the season, and you're like, what am I going to do without my Corona Doro pesto? You buy it and freeze it. So a tremendous amount of the things can be frozen, or they're already non-perishable, like the condiments that Common Hands makes or the pumpkin seeds and on and on.
Well, you know, we got to get Common Hands on here at some point.
We do. Yeah, it was a shame they could not be here today.
Oh, well, we'll do it the next time. What are some of the great types of produce that are now making their appearance at the farmer's market?
So it's funny, right? There's the popular stuff, which is potatoes and corn, right?
Yeah. And tomatoes. It's not corn time yet, though, is it?
Corn is not ready yet, no.
Well, you know who? Our Hickory Creek Farm is bringing it tomorrow.
Oh, good. Oh,
wow.
Cool. Great.
Yeah, yeah. But you're right. It's early. Usually it's August, but I think this heat has sped it up. So those are the things that are the very popular and known things, but we really do have everything. Somebody's bringing apricots tomorrow.
Ooh.
Not little dried shrivel up ones.
They can't
real ones.
Be local, though, can they?
Oh, yes. Oh,
yeah. Really?
Definitely.
You can grow apricots around here?
Absolutely.
I want to know where you can get them.
Yeah.
Well, I know where I can get them.
Yes.
Copaic Hillsdale Farmer's Market.
2140, yeah.
Oh, no. So, tell us the address. That's great.
Oh, so it is 2140. No, wait, is it 9140?
I don't know the specific address.
Well, it's on the website.
Oh, my goodness.
It's Route 22, yeah?
It's on Route 22, just south of Hillsdale, right across the street from the library.
I'm going to get fired after I leave the show.
You can't miss it. No, you cannot miss it.
Well, you
got to
write this stuff down, you know.
And there's tons of signage, and you'll see the traffic jam from all the people coming in, you know. Hey, Ray.
Okay, that's a good question. Parking is cool? Everything is good?
Tons. So much parking.
Yeah.
So much parking. I do want to get back to the SNAP thing for 10 seconds.
You got it. We only have about 30, so go ahead.
I forgot to say that, you know what, if you come and it's the very first time you've ever used your SNAP at our market, we give you $25 just on us. That comes out of our budget.
Yeah.
Just as a thank you for having faith in us and trying it out.
Now, when you say you have a budget, these are individual vendors, right? Jack is an individual vendor. How do you, as the farmer's market, then pay out
$25? Yeah, I never explained that. So we're a corporation. We're a 501c3 called CHFM Inc., and we operate this farmer's market.
Well, gotcha. Okay, well, you know, we're just about done here. Once again, the event is on Route 22. Jack Peel eloquently told you where it is on Route 22. It's just south of Hillsdale, right?
That's right. Across
exactly.
The street from the library.
And the time it happens, Laura Griffin?
9 in the morning to 1 in the afternoon, and get there early because the food is so popular. It's going to go.
You know, thank you both for being here. It was a lot of fun. Good luck with the good luck. Jeez, it's tomorrow already.
Tomorrow.
You better
it
get
is.
To work. Support comes from River Valley Co-op in Northampton and East Hampton, supporting local farmers and featuring local produce, dairy, meat, and cheese. rivervalley.coop. Taylor Davis Landscape and Construction, serving Western Massachusetts with residential driving, driveway paving, landscape and hardscape design and installation at excavation for over 30 years. TLCNES.com for more information. And SUNY Cobleskills Institute for Rural Vitality, with support from Workforce Development, offering 4-week meat processing and food safety classes focused on careers in the meat industry. Cobleskill.edu/workshops. Once again, thanks to Laura Griffin and Jack Peel for being here. The Copaic Hillsdale Farmers Market goes every Saturday, 9 to 1. And we'll do this again next season for sure. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Thanks to Barb King. Thanks to everybody. We'll see you on Monday at 2 for a Medical Monday.